I wonder if you could put up your hand if you are the youngest in your family, as far as siblings go. Ron. A few of you out there. Keep your hand up if you think that is the toughest position in the family. You think it's tough, Glennis? Who's a middle child? Is that tough, Jamie? Very tough. All those oldest children, put your hands up. It's the toughest spot, isn't it? It absolutely is. I'm the eldest. It's horrible. No, it's not horrible, but it is tough. When we were younger, well, I'm the eldest of three. I have a younger sister and a younger brother. And when we were younger, if my mum and dad were going out, they would leave me in charge. It was a very good idea. Because who knows what would have happened if my siblings were in charge. It would have been a disaster. They had absolutely no regard for the rules whatsoever. But I was all about the rules. I got along pretty well with my sister, but my brother and I, we fought a lot. And I've got scars to prove it. I don't know if he's got any scars, but I certainly do have some scars I can show you later. And when Mum and Dad went out, I would make all kinds of sensible rules to keep things in order. But my brother, I don't know why, he did not want to come under my authority. And instead, he would torment me. He would declare, "It's not right, Kate night." That's what he would say. "Not right, Kate night." And everything I said, he would do the opposite. And he would make up what he thought were very clever rhymes and songs about me, and generally do the opposite of everything that I asked him to do. Well, some of you may know this painting that Yvette's going to pop up for us now. It's a Rembrandt. And when I was growing up, this hung in my dad's office. And I have a horrible habit of pinching books from my parents. And one day when I was visiting them on holidays, I took this book and I read it. It's a book by Henry Nouwen all about this painting, The Return of the Prodigal Son. And I took it and I read it, and I'm not sure that I ever returned it. I don't know. Oh, Dad can't find it. It's lost. I'll go home and have a look. Well, whether we're the eldest or the youngest or somewhere in the middle in our earthly families, in the family of God, there will always be times, well, there will be times when some of us identify with the oldest son in this painting, and that's him standing just there on the side. Let's look at the scripture where we left it before. The father is throwing this party for the younger brother. From verse 25. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. And he asked one of the servants what was going on. "Your brother is back," he was told, "and your father has killed the fattened calf, and we are all celebrating because of his safe return." And the older brother was angry, and he would not go in. And his father came out and begged him, but he replied, "All these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing that you told me to do. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf." And if you look at the older son in the painting, you'll notice that there's distance between him and the Father. The Son, he looks in the direction of the Father, but not with joy. He doesn't reach out. He doesn't smile. And he certainly doesn't extend any kind of welcome to his brother. In fact, his hands, you'll notice, they're clasped tightly to his body. And in contrast, the Father's hands are spread in blessing on the returning Son. This brother, the older brother, on the outside, he did all of the good things that a good son was supposed to do. But here's the truth, on the inside, where it really mattered, he had wandered far from the Father. He fulfilled all of his obligations, every one. But he was increasingly unhappy and resentful and unfree. I wonder if you ever feel that way. That you're worn out with doing the right thing. That your responsibilities are wearing you down. That you're trapped by everything that you're supposed to do. Everything that you have to do to keep things looking good. I wonder if you ever feel like that elder son. I think it's a hard thing to admit if we do. It's much easier, I think, to admit that we might be like the younger son. Sure, he ran away, but it was all so dramatic, so passionate. He was so likable. He was the typical last born, a likable larrikin. And I like to imagine that I'm him. But I'm not him, and I know it, because if I look back over my life, I really haven't done anything outrageous at all. Nothing that would get people talking. My mum's smiling. She'd probably differ, but nothing that would get people talking. Nothing to upset the everyday rhythms of life. Nothing delinquent, if you like. And my guess is that for most of you, and certainly most of the firstborns, that that's your story as well, that you'll be the same. If we're anyone in this story, it's the eldest son. As a child, I was very good, and I did my best, but I was envious of my younger siblings. They were a lot more casual than me. They took life less seriously. And it seemed to me that they had a lot more fun. And there were not enough consequences. I can remember the day that my sister came home with earrings. That was a very big shock to me, because I would never have dared ask to have earrings. And then a few years later, she came home with a nose ring. Can you imagine? And I waited and waited for my parents to say something or do something, and they didn't do anything. Not a thing. I was waiting for this great big drama to unfold in front of me, and it never, ever happened. But that kind of obedient, dutiful life becomes a burden eventually, doesn't it? And we can hear it in the voice of the eldest son. All these years I slaved for you. And you never once disobeyed any of your orders, but you haven't given me a party. You haven't given me a party. And we might say, do you know what, God, I've slaved away in this place here for years. I've done everything that I thought that you expected of me. When others walked away, I stayed. When others were off doing what they wanted, I was here doing what I thought you wanted me to do. And now it seems like all of the rules have changed. And the second they walk in here, everybody makes a fuss of them. Everyone makes a fuss of them. But I've been here the whole time, and nobody's paying any attention to me. Look at them. They haven't been faithful like I have. But everyone's throwing them a party. And in those moments, we're faced with the truth about ourselves, aren't we? Our inner resentment reveals our own lostness. Sure, I've stayed at home. I didn't wander off, but I have not yet lived a free life in the Father's house, because I haven't understood the heart of the Father and what He really wants. And what He wants is our hearts, isn't it? Of course, some of you will identify with the younger son. And you may be thinking, what are you on about? You're in the house. You've always been in the house. I'm the one who's been out in the cold. Can you imagine what that must have been like for me? Probably not. I probably can't, because I've been here the whole time, born into it, raised up in it. I know the house rules. I'll tell you a secret, I've even read some of the orders and regulations. I know what to do to be good. I know what to do to look good, and I know what I have to do to keep looking good. I can play that game. But this story tells us that even if we've been part of the household our whole life, we can put ourselves out in the cold. Henry Nouwen described his own journey like this. I tried so hard. I worked so long. I did so much. And still I have not received what others get so easily. Why do people not thank me, not invite me, not play with me, not honor me, while they pay so much attention to those who take life so casually? Joy and resentment cannot coexist. We know that. So the music and the dancing, which should have been an invitation to joy, instead, it caused even more withdrawal and resentment. In the painting, there is no party. There's no field. Rembrandt depicts all of it through light and shade. And in place of the party, Rembrandt painted light. That radiant light that envelops the Father and the Son. And the older son is standing outside of that circle of love, refusing to enter. But there is a light on his face. And Rembrandt put it there to tell us that the older son is also called into the light. But he cannot be forced. I'm going to tell you, it's a family story, maybe even a legend. I've called it the Great Hills Horse, Hills Hoist Debacle, if I can get it out. My grandpa and Nana, they had two sons. And one day they were playing in the backyard and it became a bit heated, and one of the brothers pushed the other brother over. And that second brother, in a very dramatic fashion, he fell to the ground underneath the hill's hoist. And he lay there pretending to be concussed. And Nana, over time, Nana called them in for dinner. And one son went in, but the other lay where he was under the hill's hoist. And from inside the house, Nana called him in once more through the window to come in for dinner. But he didn't move. He just lay there. And he could hear the rest of the family eating and chatting. And he wondered why nobody came to get him. But he had form, and they'd seen it all before, and they were hungry, so they just got on with things. And he lay there nursing his hurt until the sun went down. And everyone retired for the night and went to their bedrooms. And then under the cover of darkness, he crept into his bed. You know, neither the parable nor Rembrandt's painting tell us what happened to the eldest son, but I like to think that he came inside. I like to think that eventually that he understood that he wasn't better than his younger brother, that he needed the grace of the Father just as his brother did. We don't know what happened to either brother, but we do know the heart of the Father. That much is plain. Let's look at the scripture again from verse 31. The older brother had become angry and refused to go in. And this is my favorite part of the story. So his father went out, just as he had gone out to the younger son, and he pleaded with him. His father said to him, "Look, dear son, you've always stayed by me." You see, the father had noticed. He knew he was there. "And everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he's found." The father wanted the younger son back, but he also wants his older son back as well. In fact, the story tells us that he left the party to go and find him. Like the shepherd who leaves the 99 for that one lost sheep, the father wants his son back. This is not a story about a good son and a bad son. Only the father is good and he loves them both. He runs out to meet them both. And the father responds to both according to who they are. He responds to their uniqueness and the uniqueness of their situation. He responds to their particular failings and he does what needs to be done to bring them back. I don't have sons, I have two daughters. And if I want to have a chat with one of them, then I'll take her out for coffee and cake. But if I want to chat to the other one, I need an entirely different approach and we will stay home and put on the kettle and have a pot of tea. At the return of the youngest son, the father calls for celebration. And when he seeks out the oldest son, he extends an invitation to participate in his joy. When he wants to bring us home, he meets us where we are. And he meets us how we are. We don't get the same treatment. But his love, let's not let the love that he has for somebody else stop us from experiencing the love that he has for us. God is urging us to step out of the darkness, to enter into his light and to discover that in God all people are uniquely and completely loved. Younger sons and daughters, older sons and daughters, he's calling us all home. We need to understand something today. Yes, he is patient. Yes, he's watching, but don't think for a moment that that means that he's passive. He's not calling from some distant land. He's not sitting in the house. He's not sitting on his hands. The scripture tells us plainly he's leaving the house. And if you're a younger son, and if you've been far away from God in every way, in your heart, in your mind, in your outrageous behavior, he's running down the road to you. That's what the word says. He's running down the road to you. And I'm not so sure that he's calling softly and tenderly. I think he's shouting out your name. I think that's what he's doing. Such is his joy at your return. But if you're an older son, and if others have let you down while you've stayed and been faithful, and you've grown dry with doing good things until it hurts, then the Father is calling to you today as well. And he's calling softly and tenderly. And he's not calling you from inside the house. He's not calling to you through an open door. He's stepping outside of the house and he's coming to find you. He's leaving the party behind and he's coming to whatever dark corner you've hidden yourself in. And he's begging you to come in out of the cold. We're going to keep singing, and if you want to come and kneel and pray, you can do that. No one will come and pray with you because we can't do that at the moment, but you can meet the Father here. And if you're watching at home, it can be pretty easy, I think, at home to just stay on the outer, a little bit removed. I want to invite you to enter in. Lord God, we love you. We love you because you first loved us. You came searching for us. And you found us and you brought us home. And we're so grateful. We're grateful because there's no place in the whole of the world that we can hide from you. And we go to the edges of the earth, even to the darkest places. You are the hound of heaven, and you'll seek us out. And every time we wander off, even if it's not very far, even if it's just outside the door, if we've placed ourselves outside in the cold and dark, you will come out to meet us and invite us into your love. Melt our hearts, oh Lord, and keep them soft so that when you come, we'll hear your voice and we'll take your hand and we'll follow you home. We pray in your precious name.